you look at Uvalde, right? You know, we talk about preventative versus responsive. Would a 21-year-old, or would a 21 age requirement have prevented him from harming someone? I think that day it would have. Could he have found other means to do that? Yes, because again, it goes back to the intent, the means, the capability.
For sure.
And, you know, that day I believe could have, the course of history could have changed. But there were so many failures before
that.
All
the way. Yeah, right? All the way along.
You know, there were so many failures before that. All of the signs, symptoms, early warning detection, you know, the lack of going to school, the withdrawal, social withdrawal, the substance abuse, the abuse of the
home upbringing,
but the abuse of animals, all of these things people knew about that, right? So, you know, we start talking about in our industry, you know, products. You know, I was reading something on LinkedIn today, again, another expert, and let's get into that here in just a second, but another expert that was talking about shot detection being part of an ecosystem of other products deployed and installed in schools, shot detection being a game changer in schools. And I say absolute bullshit.
I'm going to go on record right now. Within the next 5 years, gunshot detection is going to be obsolete.
It's obsolete right now.
But today, there's so many camera manufacturers that are now putting microphone arrays on the camera, right? And through that, they're already offering gunshot detection. So now you would be able to put a camera in the hallway and the camera is going to do the gunshot detection on it, or any type of audio analytics, not just gunshot detection. The original gunshot detection solutions, they're already losing out.
They're done.
The new systems that are out today can already hear you say help. They can hear screams. Yeah. They can distinguish aggression.
Yeah.
They can listen for keywords.
Yeah.
And so it does way more than that. So much so that it's potential, right? I think it's got some ways to go, but potentially, you could use cameras to replace motion detectors, which makes sense, but also glass break detectors using these
already
same type of acoustics in there.
The technology is already there.
It is there, and it's
so,
becoming
like,
more
widespread.
Let's
talk about like some specific products, or do you want to talk about specifics? Maybe we don't get into specifics.
Yeah.
Let's talk about gunshot detection, acoustic gunshot detection. I agree with your statement that in five years they're going to be obsolete, you know, but I never thought that they were that effective in the first place. Maybe within a community on an outdoor setting, okay. But all of these individuals who had these pipe dreams 5-6 years ago, which I was approached, they're still approaching schools about installing gunshot detection in the school. For what? Once the gunshot's already gone off, you know you have a problem.
Well, in addition
to
that,
something led up to that happening.
In addition to
that, you missed all that.
We talked about earlier, 67% is happening in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you invested all this money inside the school and it
didn't deter anything.
What's really even crazier, we talked about, you know, these silent panic buttons. We talked about these sensors. We talked about, you know, wireless locks. We talked about all this kind of stuff. Where the security industry is missing as a whole, each one of these systems has to have their own gateway in order to communicate, right? So if you have deployed a certain brand of wireless locks, a certain brand of panic buttons, certain brand of gunshot detection systems. Maybe you're doing, you know, vape detection. Maybe you're doing, well, then you've got the actual wireless internet in there. Maybe you've got, you know, repeaters for your intrusion system. You're talking about littering the hallways and the classrooms with six or seven different wireless gateways.
Imagine being the IT director that had to keep up with all that.
Well, the reality is they don't.
They can't.
I mean, the schools don't have the resources to do what they
need. One of the things that they're not looking at either, Mike, and you know this, I dealt with this, is that I didn't have the budget.
Yeah.
You know, the sustainable budget, you know. Yeah. Most of these school districts, they're just now getting to the point where they realize they need a designated professional to oversee this stuff.
Well, the other thing
and then they have no budget to create that division or that department.
A lot of them also don't have any lifecycle management. There's no budgeting of, okay, we've bought this. What is the useful life of this server, of this camera, of this intercom, of this whatever? And so that's how we get to the situation we talked about earlier with intercoms being 40 to 60 years old, or you get to camera systems that are 20, 25 years old.
Yeah.
You've way outlived the useful life of that. Servers that are, you know, one of the easiest ways that cyber criminals are getting into school and business networks is through cameras and camera networks. Mm-hmm. And so those systems aren't up to the same security policies that the other systems mm-hmm. are, or are running a deprecated operating system, and they become an easy way in. And it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And if you don't have a systems integrator who is there keeping you up to date and making those recommendations, then you're stuck.
Well, let's talk real quick before we really transition. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming to mind right now, but one of the things that I think it's important that you and I talk about is that, you know, for the listeners, you know, people know me as Mike Matranga, you know, owner of M6 Global Defense. Maybe you know what we do, maybe you don't know what we do, and then you know you as Mike Monsiv at ASAP Security Services. And so, you know, but for those that are listening maybe for the first time, what is it that we do collectively, and why is there a value in what we bring together? And you know, what that is that, you know, my team, we provide centuries of real world practical experience of, you know, having deployed certain tactics, techniques, procedures across all 7 continents, across 200 countries, everything from weapons detections to tactics to intelligence gathering to threat detection to investigative threat detection techniques, building out a sustainable plan, and then turning that over to Mike and his team.
You're selling yourself short.
Okay, keep going.
Specifically as it relates to schools, you have the experience as a school security director.
True.
And so what makes you different than all of these self-proclaimed experts that were former military or former officers is you've actually done the job.
Yeah.
You understand the soft skills. You understand what it's like. And there's a huge disconnect between law enforcement and former military people stepping in and doing security.
Yeah, I agree.
That it's not there. When I met you back 2018, 2019, you were a hammer.
Oh,
right?
I was.
Like
yeah.
in there. And,
yeah.
and you definitely changed, right?
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
you understand that environment. You understand the school board environment.
Oh, yeah.
And that is something that all of these other organizations who try to compete with you do not have. They don't understand 504. They don't understand IEPs. They don't understand BTAM. Your team does.
They don't understand how to put together a solid foundation of understanding that it's not one or the other. It's not products or people. It's a combination of both.
And so,
and it's a very holistic plan that has to be put in place.
Once you have the plan, right?
Well, it goes to the 4 P's.
Yeah.
The people, the planning, the process, the products, or the people, the planning, the products, and then the process.
Right.
Right? Because the problem is that in the industry, we're seeing people skip the first 3 or the first 2, which are the foundation, the framework, and the fixes. They're skipping the foundation, which is the people and the planning, going straight to the products, because you have some slick salesman coming in and telling you that their product is going to resolve all your issues. It's going to reduce your risk. That's not the case.
It's people.
The only way we reduce risk is not through a product that you purchase. It's through assessment of behaviors and patterns of behaviors over a period of time, digging down deep into that, understanding it, intervening, not wasting any time, thinking it's someone else's problem, or not thinking that, hey, it's after 5, that's not my issue. It is your issue. There's too much at stake. That's how we resolve this, right? And so the beauty of what our teams collectively do is my team brings that intellectual piece of those decades or centuries of experience, both on the extreme high level of protection, the extreme high level of interfering and identifying people that are in crisis. And then we merge what we bring with his team's expertise of being one of Texas's largest privately held integration companies or security companies, who not only can get whatever product that it is that you need, but we can advise you on which one, because it's not a one size fits all. It's a custom plan that's put together for you. What works for you may not work for District X, Y, and Z. You may not have the critical infrastructure that you need to support some of the other things that everybody talks about.
Well, and how to leverage your existing investment, right? I mean, if you go back to why we were successful with Texas City when you
were there, right? We leveraged what we had.
You did. And what is here that's good that we can use?
Yeah.
How do we take your budget, which was extremely small to begin
with? Minute, yeah.
And then we had to stretch that thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and we got so much done, right? With a very little budget in a very quick amount of time. Yeah. And that was, why you got all the national recognition all of that stuff.
People don't look at, like, school boards, IT directors, some of these other individuals that have maybe, overshot their budget, depending upon ESSER funds, which we're seeing that as a crisis now. You know, one of the hardest things for me was not just jumping at the first thing that I liked, right, is actually assessing it. Don't tell me how awesome it is. Let me see how awesome it is, right?
Let me try it. I'm a firm believer in
it. Let me try it.
Let me put it in your environment.
If they don't want you to try, I had so many people call me and say, hey, we think you'd be a great candidate for our new product, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll try it. Let me try it. Okay, what's going to cost you $10,000 to try it? Nope. If someone's trying to charge you to pilot something, call me. I'll tell them, though, if you don't want to be the bad guy. For free, I'll do that. My point is that our teams collectively, we go through and we identify vulnerabilities. We leverage what your existing infrastructure already has so that we can reduce that annual subscription cost. I tell people all the time, why would you, there's a lot of VMSs out there, okay? I'm not a fan of paying a annual subscription for a video management system. I'm just not. I know some people want to do that and all this other stuff. I get it.
We are seeing a little bit of a transition.
There is a transition because of the cloud. I understand that there's subscription fees. I'm talking about back in the day when cloud wasn't available, they want you to have a subscription fee for a non-cloud-based system. Negative.
Crazy money too.
No way, man. Crazy expensive. They're not considering that.
People don't consider the
cost
of ownership.
You may have the bond money this year, but what about the next 5 years? Yep. You have that money for the subscription cost and fees.
And a lot of times that's not disclosed up front.
No.
Like what your true cost of ownership is, what this is going to cost you every single year to do that. And this isn't maintenance, right? Like, this isn't maintaining the system. This isn't break fix. This is just for you to run the software. It's going to cost X amount of dollars.
I'll tell you, it's so frustrating because you and I both know how we operate. We truly are Texans at heart. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If you need me there tomorrow and it's 10 hours away, I'm going to do my best to get there if I have to drive there. That's the level of customer service that we bring to people.
Sure.
However, these people hire us for our expertise. We go in, we identify, we build in a phased approach, and they do what they want to do anyway. Why? You know, it's not everybody, but it's so frustrating.
It is very frustrating to see people, I think some of it is lip service, right? So we've had some individual that say that they want to make a difference, right? And then when it comes time to put, money where their mouth is, like when it comes time to do that, they're silent. They're nowhere to be found. They are not engaging. They're not willing to take 10 minutes and try to identify what's going on. They put their head in the sand. And what's crazy is that some of these people that we've dealt with have come from districts that had crises.
Yeah.
And when that happens, they come here and they have these things and they have all the right things to say. I came from here. I was part of this. I saw this. I don't want this to ever happen. I want change. I want to do something different. Mm-hmm. I want to hold my team accountable. If you're not, you don't get direct answers, I want to know. And then when it comes time for that individual to act, the exit stage left, right?
Or you can you know, put together the most perfect customized plan for success built upon the foundation, then the framework.
A proven foundation.
Then, yes, a proven, you know.
This isn't
theory. Based in data and research.
Yeah, this isn't theory.
And then they just do what they want. You know, anyways. It's like, well, why did you hire us? You recognized right. us as individuals that you felt.
Well, and
had some
what's
value.
Interesting about it is a lot of times, you know, these report that you put together, you know, when things go wrong, right? Ultimately, it would come out that there
this
was
is what this, we recommended.
There was a professional organization with an experience and the credentials that you or I have behind us, and that you had that in writing of this is what was done. You have meetings that were on schedules and dates that the meetings happened to discuss it, and you had that in front of you, but you chose to do this instead, right?
For the low bid.
And well, it doesn't even matter whether it's low bid or not. It's a complete and total deviation to something that's not based in fact or theory, mm-hmm. not based on sound advice, something that maybe they're investing in with somebody in a product or with somebody that has already let them down and has documented proof as part of a report where they continued to fail over and over again, where their staff has said this vendor has failed to perform, and then they just go and do business with them anyways. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit disheartening to see that when you think that you're dealing with somebody who's genuine and says that they want to make change, and then their actions are something different.
I don't take people for their word anymore. You and I both know over the last 3 years we've been working together side by side. How many times people have made empty promises? They've said they're going to do something and they didn't do it. You know, I don't recall me ever saying anything that I was going to do that I didn't do, or you. You know, we've always upheld our end of the bargain.
You did say you were going to win an election.
I am going to win an election.
So we'll see.
That's absolutely going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, it's, you know, what I would tell districts is that, listen, you don't have to do this by yourself. You know, I don't have to build the plan. But if you want to do it yourself, you just want some guidance, I'll sit in the room with you.
You know, what's frustrating, Mike, we talked about this once before. I know you and I had. You know, I went to the a school district in rural South Texas, and they had downloaded all of the information from the state, from Texas School Safety Center, they were trying to put together their plan. They had formed their committee. It included students. It included law enforcement. It included mental health professionals. It included teachers, administrators. SROs, it included, they had put together a team, the best that they could. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to wade through it. There wasn't a single person in there that had ever written an emergency operations plan. Nobody had ever written an emergency action plan. Yeah. Most of them had never bought the systems that they were looking at, didn't even know where to place equipment or why. And initially they were dealing with true just product salespeople, not even somebody who had security experience. For example, one of the companies that they had initially started dealing with, I literally have more security experience in my left toe than they had combined between all three of the representatives that were there. I mean, it was, they had no idea what they were doing. And until they had been challenged of, like, that doesn't make any sense. Here are the principles. Here's what, you know, code says. Here's what, you know, best practices are. Here's why. This is why you would want to do this. This is why you would want to have this. And it makes sense. And they're like, man, well, why didn't the other people tell us that?
Because they're not interested in that. They're interested in the sell.
Correct.
That's all it's about.
And so often, I wouldn't say that we get taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah, we do.
But
yeah, we do.
Many times we start off with an engagement, and we come here, and it ends up being here, and we don't necessarily charge for that, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of that bigger picture of where we're trying to be, it being helpful. And when you see somebody who's truly trying to make change, right? Not somebody who's just talking about, you and I both dig in and really try to help out, right? And put the resources of our team behind it. And when we do, it's magic.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really is. It's amazing.
I've said this probably
empowered teams.
The last couple weeks. I've said multiple times to other colleagues in the industry is that, you know, I'm frustrated. And I'm frustrated because we go beyond the scope of work. You know, there's one that comes to mind right now. I met with their team multiple times and got ran through the mud because my suggestions didn't meet their wants. And I met with them and got drugged through the mud and sat through empty promises. And at the end of the day, they did what they wanted to do anyway, right? And it's like they took zero advice of what we recommended.
Well,
and they ended up going with the same company.
Yeah, but
they got them in the same, that was in the, they put them in the same,
it's
in the
even
position
more
they were
that.
In.
It's even more than that. Take the sell, take the process change, take all of that out of the equation. Here's what I think you and I struggle most with this, is that we met with a team who told us they wanted to do something. They knew they had vulnerabilities. They knew they had issues.
And we documented it.
Documented all of it. We exposed all of the open wounds. And there were a lot, right?
And they got in their feelings.
But it isn't even a matter of that. Here's what I have a problem with. This district specifically, this customer that we're talking about, is flush with cash, right?
Lots.
And they have the money to do it.
To do it right.
And what have they done?
They went with the low bid.
Well, it isn't even about that. Even what they went with, they wrote up theirself without our guidance, right?
And we offered to do that for free.
And what they're getting, whether, forget the money side of it,
is no better than what they have.
Is no better than what they had.
They
and
didn't.
It's being performed by the vendor who failed to perform. It's in our report. And what was most shocking to me at all these people who said that they wanted to make change, most of them, when we pushed them, never even read the report.
Nope.
Still haven't. And so they say they want to make change, but they just, it's lip service.
Yeah.
It's just going through the motion. And what's really, really sad and what bothers me, and I know it bothers you.
Oh, yeah.
Is those kids that we were with in that school, they have the chance to make a difference at those facilities, and they're not going to do it at the end of the day, right?
No.
They're just going through the motions. They're saying the right keywords. They show up to the board meeting. They do the big praise. They pose for all the photos.
Yep.
They receive the awards, and they say they want to make a difference. But they don't.
Yeah.
They really don't.
They go through the motions, you know, and, you know, we talk about what's the difference between a practitioner and a theorist. And the fact of the matter is that I run across a hell of a lot more theorists than I do actual practitioners. And it's the theorists that have the biggest freaking egos out of all of them, you know, and that, I think that's what's most upsetting to me, is that the people that, like you said, they're out there out front saying they want to make a change. They don't necessarily.
What's interesting, you know, this one particular that we're talking about, there was an issue with comms. Comms, as we've talked about before, has been documented time and time again about being an issue in all organizations.
Mm-hmm.
In the event of a crisis, how are you going to communicate? How do you communicate daily? What is your means and methods? What systems do you have? What are your processes? How are they going to go? And we dig in deep in that because it's always been an issue, right? And so we identified that, and an individual had made a change. The organization didn't like the change.
Mm-hmm.
It arguably was a bad decision.
It was a bad decision.
Poor product. And because it was a poor product and more difficult to use, nobody was using it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now there is no centralized. There is, but nobody uses it. The parents don't use it. The staff doesn't use it. Nobody uses it except for this one person. And they keep drawing the line in the sand. You have to. And nobody's
They're
doing
not
it.
Going to.
And when we brought that to the attention of the individuals that happened to be sitting there and said, well,
mad.
Here's what's really going on, right?
Yeah.
And no, it's not. It's like, I understand what you're saying.
I beg to differ.
It really is. This is
Here's
what's
your
going
survey.
On.
statistics.
Right.
Here's the interviews that we conducted.
And here's what's actually happening on site. What
you're being told. Nobody wants to tell their boss that they're wrong.
Right. Right? And that's unfortunate because this organization is spending a lot of money annually investing in a solution that doesn't work.
Like 10 different solutions.
And that nobody uses, right?
Yeah.
And it creates chaos that in the event of an emergency, there is no means to effectively communicate. This is the same company, the same organization that invested in phones in the classrooms. They are comms nightmare. They are exactly the type of customer that we talk about. And this one individual who was a key member of the team took it personally. And it's not personally. And that organization is going to suffer.
What's going to even be more catastrophic is that they will not be able to recover when something happens and all of the things that they've done goes contrary to what our recommendations are. And nothing that they've done on their own will work. It's going to fail. It will absolutely fail.
It's failing right now.
And it's going to be it's going to be documented that we recommended that they not do that, but they take a different course of action. And guess what? Just like in Michigan, where they started holding people accountable with the Crumbly case in Oxford, I believe that there will be a point where we start seeing superintendents, security directors, school boards being held accountable.
Well, and I think the tides have changed, right? So it used to be that cities couldn't be sued. Texas actually blew past that.
Yeah.
San Antonio, Texas, during the freeze, right?
Yeah.
The city, got sued. They said, you can't sue me. That was gone through, and they actually said, well, actually, you can be sued. Yeah. And then they went to court, and they lost.
Let's go a step further back. I mean, we have several customers that we no longer get paid to work with, but we stay engaged with them because I, like you, want to finish a job that I started. We have customers dating back to 2 years ago.
At least
2 years, some a little over 2 years, that we have done a complete assessment. We have done a complete spec out. We have built their foundation. We have built up their framework. We've added their finishes. We've given them a complete roadmap to success. We built a budget for their bond. They took it and articulated that to
the public,
their tax base. As this was an immediate need, the taxpayers approved it at the tune of double-digit millions.
Or triple-digit millions.
Well, in the grand scheme, triple-digit, but in this particular case, specific for security upgrades, double-digit millions. Today, over 2 years later, they have not spent a single penny. And we've remained engaged, we've remained professional, but at some point, I've got to pull away from that.
This is not about us not receiving compensation or not winning work. That's not what it's about at all.
No, I want no affiliation with it because guess what? It can happen. Those people who think that it can't happen to you, you're wrong.
Well,
it may not be in the form of an AR-15. It may be in the form of multiple suicides. It may be in the form of gang violence. It may be, listen, school security surrounds and is encompassed by multiple things, not just active shootings. But my point is that you've taken no steps to mitigate the things that we identified over 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You got the money. And at some point, if something happens, regardless if it's as significant as an active shooting or not, someone somewhere, whether it be a parent or a group or whether it be the Department of Justice, is going to come in and say, wait a minute, you had an assessment done.
These are
the recommendations.
It's not even
you
that.
Haven't done any of that.
Yeah.
You're going to be held civilly but and possibly criminally liable.
That's not the big issue. It's at the end of the day,
well,
the taxpayers
thing.
Said, you know, we
this
want
is what
to do
we
this.
Want.
We agree with the need. And let's get it done, right? And then no action happens. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we are failing, we as in taxpayers, not holding these schools accountable.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the money? How is this being spent? When are you going to spend it?
That's the problem with the citizenry. You're not asking questions. What happened to that money that we awarded you? I haven't seen many upgrades in my child's school.
So just give you a hard time? These are the same ones who are
going to... I know, shut up.
Going to come back and vote for you?
Yeah, I knew where you were going
You're
going
to overthrow Congress, that one?
Yeah, I knew where you were going with that.
We can't even get them to show up locally with their own money.
I mean, maybe
money.
You got a point, but
with their own money.
There's not many times, and I won't say this too often, that he's not right. He's usually right. You know, him and my wife, you know, she's right all the time, by the way. But, you know, my point is that, you know, it's frustrating. We ask what's wrong with the security landscape in schools. You know, one of the things that I think is important that we should note is that, you know, Zero Now has developed and deployed the National Council for School Security Directors, which I'm now the vice chair. And our goal is to create a standard and a certification process for these individuals, because you and I both know that in most school districts, whether they be private or whether they be public, the individual that's running the school security program is not equipped.
Yeah, well,
they're the maintenance and operations guy. They're the former coach. They're the former principal who was promoted, or former law enforcement individual who's been working the streets and doing,
the biggest problem is
responsive law enforcement.
Not only right now, in my opinion, is it not manageable of everything that falls under there, but I feel like we just keep heaping
more
on this person. And, being involved in helping try to create a curriculum and just going through the exercise.
Yeah, you're a special advisor to our council.
Of documenting all the things that a school safety director touches,
mm-hmm.
right? And you talk about how are you going to build a curriculum about doing it. It is a massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. A massive undertaking, because it involves, facilities, purchasing, technology, behavior, weather, hazardous material, emergency management. I mean, the list, when we started doing it, just kept going and going and going and going and going. And then in different ones, the reporting and all of the things that have to be done for either accreditation or for state regulation, federal regulations, it is massive. The room for error on any school safety director, I believe, is bigger than a superintendent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because they just keep heaping responsibility. And I honestly believe that position, unfortunately, is a scapegoat in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think more than anything, not only is the passion around Zero Now and you being involved in that to help create that and help that, but I hope that a part of it ultimately becomes, this isn't my responsibility.
Yeah.
Being able to push back and go, I am not taking on this facilities issue. I am not taking on this federal regulation issue.
Oh God,
this
man,
this is not me.
When I
am not
director,
taking on an HR issue.
Yeah,
I
had a lot of that.
This is a employee issue. This is within HR. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with students.
I can recall multiple times, where I was involved in HR investigations. Or I think to an extent, if there's an aspect to it that could be harmful to
it's a gray area. But with somebody who's already overloaded.
Well, here's the deal. I'm saying from a perspective of needing to know, right? So it's just like, it's like security clearances in the government, right?
I agree
with
that.
Secret, everybody's like, oh man, this guy's got top secret clearance. Well, that doesn't really mean shit.
Nope. It's the levels.
It's the levels, right? It's the add-ons. It's the other special access programs. It's the SCIs. It's all of those things, right?
Correct.
it's a need to know basis. Yep. You know, is there a problem with an employee that I need to know about? Well, is there a danger to our campus? You know, right. is this teacher going through a divorce and the husband has become, you know, violent towards her and made threats
towards
her?
Yeah, is this something that's going to spill over
know about it, right?
into my school?
It could spill over. But I also want to deploy the right technology and inform the right people so that we can be real-time eyes.
Yeah.
But then we can leverage technology like we did, you know, facial recognition, to add that person into a watch list so that if they make an attempt to come on our campus, we're notified of that. That's proactive security,
yeah.
right? And it's finding the right software.
And the right balance of right, that yeah, whole process.
Yeah, for sure. You know, processes in place, policies, so that you're not infringing upon anyone's rights.
Look, I'm super excited about it. And I know that you're on, I know that everybody's on the right track with this
yeah.
because other people are getting upset.
Oh, and a lot of people are getting upset.
It's one of those things that you know you're doing something right when there's people in an establishment that that are upset that somebody's doing something about it,
yeah.
right?
Well, that's people that are getting upset that we're kind of standardizing the school security director position are the ones that are selling unproven products, right?
Yep.
Or they're using unethical business practices to force them upon these individuals who are unaware,
yep.
you know, and that's wrong. That's not right. And we will continue to fight that. And here's the deal. Some of these companies I know well. Some of them have very good products that I would still recommend. But at the end of the day, what matters is how you get there, right? Some entrepreneurial spirits may disagree, but at the end of the day, you still have to have a moral compass when you're moving forward with this. You still have to understand that, you know, at the education level throughout the United States, there's something to be said about each school board being duly elected by their local constituents who voiced their vote and cast their vote for this individual to represent them to make decisions rather than having a venture capital group hire a bunch of lobbyists to promote a product to now make it legislation that every school district in that state be forced to have that product when they don't even have the foundation in place.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Taking away local control is wrong.
It doesn't matter. There's nobody that should be able to lobby that you have to do a specific product.
Absolutely not. But my challenge to the National School Board Association, to our state's Texas Association of School Boards, where are you? Why are you allowing these legislative efforts to be forced upon your school boards?
I suspect that they are filling the lobbyists and the lobbyists' money running into their organizations.
Probably. You know, but it's
you've got to have the ethics. This is what we're fighting, man. Is the deterioration of the moral yeah. fabric.
Well, you know, we talked earlier about weapons detection. Okay, and there's multiple forms of weapons detection. Like there's your audible. You know, there's your like companies like Eagle. Shooter detection.
You mean gunshot detection.
Gunshot detection. Yeah, that's what I meant. Gunshot detection. You have Eagle. You have shooter detection. Who else you have?
There's
Triangula.
A bunch.
You have a whole bunch, right? Then you have your weapons detection, which is usually your software base that's AI generated. You place it on camera. You have different companies like OmniAlert. You have Zero Eyes, you have
Avigilon,
you have right. all these other companies. You know, the deal is that all of them, respectfully, are very good. You know, I have personal experience with Avigilon. I have personal experience with OmniAlert. Yeah. I have personal experience with Zero Eyes. If you ask me which one's better, I don't think that any of them are any better than the others.
Yeah, I could tell you a few technical differences.
A couple technical differences. Like, for example, one of the things that I like, and this is not a promotion, one of the things that I like about Zero Eyes is they have a real-time SOC where real-time people are putting eyes on to verify that alert. Some will argue that that delays. I still think that it's nice to have a real person to verify that. I believe that Omni provides a more robust system. Avigilon It's already built into your cameras if you have a Vigilon. So, I mean, there's pros and cons to all, right? But, you know, I get this question all the time, which one's better? Well, I can't really say that any's better than the other.
It depends on what your resources are, right? So if you have a full-time dispatchers, right, then that can receive those alerts and make those decisions and be informed, communicate immediately, they could ultimately beat Zero Eyes all day long, right? The alerts could come in. They could see exactly what's going on. They're immediately communicating because it's their own two-way radio network with individuals, boots on the ground. Sorry, Zero Eyes, you're not going to beat it. Like, you can't beat that, right? If there's another solution out there that you're going to give to a dispatcher, the dispatcher's there. Now, do you have the right dispatchers? Do you have multiple dispatchers in case one's out? All of those things come into play. Do you have the right processes and controls? Zero Analysis, all they do, and Zero Eyes, that's all that they do. So they have the redundancies and all that stuff in place.
Their software is great, man.
It is. OmniAlert is great. On point. I mean, it's on point. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, the way that theirs work, and we've put it through its paces. We have tried to fool it in every different way. One of the things I specifically like about theirs is it doesn't trigger on holstered weapons, right?
Yeah.
All other products, potentially, you either have to have the weapon fully brandished or it's there.
Yeah.
What's unique, and I really like about it, is if you put your hand on the weapon in a holster, you can get an alert.
Yeah.
Right? And I haven't been able to get any of the other systems
to do that.
Yeah. Right. And so you could put the gun on the table and put your hand over it. You can do everything. Until you grip the firearm, it doesn't act. But the moment that you grip it, it goes into
Well, and I think it's important that we say that, listen, we personally, I have never really personally promoted any particular product, right?
But it's about finding the right product for the organization, right?
So what works for, you know, OmniAlert may work for this customer, where Zero Eyes may work for this one. Are you getting anything less on this one than you are that one? Minor differences, maybe.
Yeah.
But it depends upon the customer's need.
It might be the service.
The answer at the end is, are they both effective? Yes, they are.
Right.
Right. But I agree with what you said earlier. These gunshot detection systems, 5 years, they're going to be obsolete. You heard that right here first. Right.
At least. It's coming quick. I mean, I
think it's going to be sooner
than
quick.
That. It's coming very, very quick.
It's going to be sooner than that. So,
ironically enough,
all you experts out there that are promoting this gunshot detection, y'all should probably just go ahead and stash that cash that they're paying you and put that in a little rainy day fund, because those days are about to end.
Ironically, it's not the gunshot detection that's promoting that. It's all of the other things, like the screaming, the help, the glass break detection, all of those other audio analytics that is making the camera with audio more popular than the gunshot detection is
itself,
that's in there.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's what I find really interesting about the whole thing.
No, it's... I wanted to talk about these particular products because this has been a hot topic.
It's everywhere.
Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, over the last month, over the last year.
Yeah.
You know, I get calls from people all over. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I don't, you know. And so these are commonly talked about products that, you know, I kind of want to set the record straight on where I stand. Yeah. They're all good, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line. Are you going to get false positives with every one of them? Yep,
absolutely.
You sure are. Nothing is 100%. Perfect. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you have someone telling you it is, they're full of shit.
Yep, run.
Don't listen.
It's not real.
You know, don't buy. Call me again. I'll tell you what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You know, but, you know, it's...
If anybody thinks it is, tell me how many times you've caught a cat on your Ring camera.
Yeah.
Your Ring doorbell camera, right?
You know, I get the call all the time. Hey, what about, you know... Evolve or Chaya, whatever your flavor is.
Right.
They're both good.
Right.
You know, do they both have false positive? Yep, they do.
Yep. What is it going in? Is it going to be permanent, or are you going to move it? Right. I mean, there's so many different things on how are you going to use it? How are you going to staff it? What are you looking to get out of it? Are you looking to tie other things into it? it's such an open-ended question, and I think that's really where the expertise of you or your team and my team come in, is being able to sit down with a customer, understand all of their challenges, understand what we're working with as a baseline, understand where they want to go, right? And understand budget, and then being able to put together a plan that is sustainable, that is defined extremely well,
yeah,
that is trained even better, and then is executed and is repeatable each year as you have staff changes, mm-hmm. being able to get them in, train them, execute, repeat over and over and over again, mm-hmm. right? And that's what's missing. That's what's missing from, you know, the entire security industry. There's so many people who just run out, throw a system in, and they're gone. And it was never set up properly. There was never any training done. And the customer's just left with hanging there, right? Many times the products take a bad rap.
I got right? burnt.
You did.
On two products.
They weren't for me.
They were not from you. One of them was a proposal from my IT director. Mm-hmm. Love the guy to death. Good idea, Ferry. Touched him a little bit. And, you know, I was a couple weeks on the job. I'm like, oh, that's what you want. I mean, okay. I mean, I don't know too much about it, but okay. Didn't work. I knew within months it wasn't going to work.
Right.
You know, and that company is, I think they're still around, but I don't think they're doing much business.
Yeah, don't ever hear about it.
You know, and that's, you know, but there's been other companies that are...
Well, just
that
don't
are,
do it, right? Give us a call. That's what it comes
down
to.
That's the deal. Yeah, here's the challenge to you. Before you make a financial decision to move forward on any of that, just call us. You know, good Lord. It's, yeah. you know, call us. You know, yeah. we're here for you. I mean, yes, we make money. We have to feed our families, but... You know, hell, I'm willing to have conversations.
And when you talk about that, how many times have we gone in from some big architect firm that's going to do something?
Oh, man.
And we were a fraction of the cost, right?
A fraction.
Or we come back in and we talk about a different technology than what they were considering, and we've saved them millions of dollars.
I had a buddy today in a text group. Being on the National Council, there's a big text group of a bunch of us professionals throughout the nation that we literally talk every day. I talk more to them than I do my wife sometimes. And, you know, guy takes a picture of one of their brand new schools, and it's like rinse, wash, repeat. And I said, hey, I bet I can pick out what architect that was. And I was right. You know, I was close, but similar, right? Similar design, whatnot. And I said, hey, that all that glass you got there, let me guess. 8 millimeter on that, uh-huh.
8 mil.
That's what the state requires, a minimum. So we're just going to go with the minimum requirement without doing our due diligence to test it ourselves. And then I said, I'm not going to say his name, but I was like, who made that decision? The architect. Of course they did, because they're pinching pennies so that it goes into their margin rather than preserving life. Okay, so don't make an extra couple hundred grand over your millions that you make, but spend it into, you know, put it into a 15 mil at a minimum.
A minimum.
You know, it's like, come on, man.
It kills me for us to do 8 mil on a school, even after we've educated them on it.
And you right? tell them flat out, give like, me that well, river rock, let me throw it through here.
This is what the state says.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do what the state says. And it's like,
you
yes,
still
but
have
it's
a
not
duty.
Common sense.
You
like,
still
I can,
have a
I'll
duty.
I'll prove it to you.
You have an obligation to do the right thing. I mean,
every school that I've offered it up to, I said, I will come and do a window for free.
Yeah.
That you're considering. And then I will let you or me, whatever one you pick, I will buy the pane of glass, right? And we will throw a rock through it.
Yeah.
And if it goes through the 8 mil film, you buy 15 mil. Either way, you can't lose. I'm going to buy the pane of glass, and I'm going to do it for free. I have yet to have somebody take
me
up
on that. I'll tell you what we're going to do right here. Okay? We're going to put a challenge out.
Okay.
Okay? We're going to put a challenge out. I want this to be a complete segment, minute and 30 seconds. It's going to be very direct. The challenge is this. For those of you in the film and ballistics industry, and I'm going to call you by name.
Uh-oh.
3M, Safe Haven Defense, Armored One, and True Armor. Those are the four that I consider, right?
Matico.
Sorry, five, Matico. Yeah. So, Matico, True Armor, Safe Haven Defense, 3M, and Armored One. Those five, I want you to respond. What we're challenging you to do, we have a beautiful place down here in Texas, 11,000 acre ranch, we have our own range, we have our own lodging. You come down here with your team and let's just have a display. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's throw rocks at it. Let's beat it with a bat. Let's shoot it with multiple different weapons.
We got to be clear.
What?
No games.
No games.
Quarter inch plate glass, just like is on every single storefront window.
That's right.
Not multiple stacked, multiple layers. Not tint on or film on the front and film on the back. No games, right?
Yeah.
One-sided film only applied.
Installed on site.
Yeah.
Installed on site. And let's see who reigns supreme.
Yeah.
I mean, if your product's that good, then we'll do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I let's see it.
Well, and I want to see, you know, all these people who are promoting the 8mm to show up with it.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you're recommending, you're going out nationally and you're recommending this and you're lobbying school or
all these states that are saying that you have to do an 8.
Yeah.
You want to come watch the state of Texas, the state of Arkansas?
Up.
You want to come watch the demo? You know, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, let's set the record straight once and for all. We'll see who responds. I'm going to push this out.
It's clear. For people who have actually done it, this is really, really clear. I will tell you this. I'm going to be standing behind something when I throw a 15mm. I'm not going to do that because that thing's coming back at me.
Oh, I won't be on the other side of any of it, whether it be a projectile being shot or a rock being thrown. And guys, listen, I don't want you to think this is like, you know,
But this is the real world that we come from, right? This is where put your money where your mouth is. If we're going to make a recommendation for a product, we want to make sure that it works. This is no different than what we did when we evaluated film.
Listen,
right?
I put ballistic in all four of our brand new schools. We were, you know, the average cost to build our schools, and not a lot of people know this, and I designed it. I sat down with our architects. I look at all the angles, and quite frankly, they were shocked at the discrepancies or deficiencies or vulnerabilities that just my eyes were able to pick up on a blueprint. And after we went through and we redesigned, they said, man, this makes a lot more sense from a safety perspective, right? So I put ballistic level 8 in every single classroom of those four brand new schools from the door all the way to the hard corner.
Wall panels, yeah.
Right?
So that when somebody is crouched down, right?
They actually have protection. Right? So people go, oh, that had to be millions and millions of dollars. The average cost to build those schools was anywhere between $35 to $50 million. We did every one of those schools with a lifetime product for about $750,000. Every single school, $750,000 of a $40 million budget. That's pennies for that level of protection. And you don't see it. It doesn't affect the integrity of anything. It's got a lifetime warranty.
Makes me wonder how many people there even know that it's there now.
Not many.
You know?
Not many.
They don't even know
how I designed the front door to cut down and to increase those angles. So for longer durations, God forbid, like in Uvalde, the kids can stretch out. They can get comfortable. They don't get restless. Those are the things that professionals think about, right? You don't hear me calling myself an expert. I call myself a professional, you know? And so the next episode we do is going to be professionals versus experts, right? And the proliferation of experts and why we're seeing this.
And how do you get the designation?
You just give it to yourself.
Apparently. That's what we found out.
Yeah, you just give it to yourself.
Yeah.
So
and
I said what I said. I don't care. I don't take it out back. I don't take any of it back, you know?
All right.
So,
well, Matrenga, m6globaldefense.com.
That's right.
Mike Monsiv, serviceasap.com. Look us up.
Yep. Do it.
We're a phone call away.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep.